Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our broadcast for Monday, February the 2nd. We start a brand new month right here on the Gospel Pulpit. It is a great joy to be with you. I want to welcome two stations back now. We welcome WPIP 880 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Ministry of the Berean Baptist Church, and Pastor Ron Beatty. We've been on this station for many years at this time slot, and of course we lose the station in the wintertime due to the AM sign-off. And also want to welcome back WYZD Radio in Dobson, North Carolina, and that's one of our stations, and with it also we lose during the winter months there on this broadcast. We're certainly glad to have you listening. We praise the Lord for you. And today I want to make a big announcement here on the radio, and I hope that you'll bear with me for a minute, but we are going to start something new. For almost a year and a half, not quite a year and a half, I've been praying about a project called Reaching America with the Gospel. And my goal is to go on more radio stations and even some in different parts of America where that there's not as much gospel preached. And in order to do that, now I'm not on the radio for your money. I want you to understand that. But in order to do this project, I'm going to have your help. And you that are saved, you that are born again, I never go to the world and ask them for anything. But what I've come up with, and this will not only help the broadcast, but it'll help our ministry, it'll strengthen it, and therefore we'll be able to do more, and we may even go forward is really the name of it. And it's not for my glory, but it's for the good and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we've come up with, or what I've come up with through prayer and praying about it, is if we could get 1,000 listeners, or a church or a Sunday school class, to just say, you know, we're going to support GBI $10 a month. Now, that's a whole total of $120 for a year. Maybe somebody could just write that check, $120, for the whole year. And if we could get 1,000 people to do that across America, we could take new stations on. And now, some of these stations are going to be expensive as we go forward. But I'd like to get in places, especially in the West and places. And then we'll announce to you. Now, all of them won't be there. Some of them still may be in the East and different places. But I will announce to you as we take on new stations. I'll let you know where, when, and what. So I want you to pray about that project. I'll talk more about it tomorrow, okay? Let's go to our second message today on a zeal that consumes. Now, we come to part two of this message that I started from Psalm 119. On a zeal that consumes. Psalm 119, verse number 139. The Bible said, "My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words." Now, Heavenly Father, would you help us today and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the psalmist is saying here that the enemies of the Lord have forgotten his words. And because of that, his zeal for God has consumed him. And, of course, we said on the last message that the word zeal, that it means ardor, it means heat, it means like the sun's rays. An English definition would be passionate or ardor in the pursuit of something. And then the word consumed has an interesting meaning. It means destroy or annihilate. In other words, the psalmist had such a zeal for God that it took him over. It dominated him. It destroyed him in a good sense. Not like you destroy something and obliterate it, but his zeal. The Lord used the terminology, and we used this in the last message. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And when we talk about our zeal for the Lord as a zeal that consumes. Are we, you and I, and we live in the flesh, and the flesh, you know, the Bible said the spirit is willing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And, you know, when we try to do good, the flesh is always there to do evil. And you're going to battle that flesh unto the day you die. There's no conquering that one time in life. You have to deal with it every day. And so we're talking about zeal for the Lord. Now, first of all, we mentioned on the last message a zeal for prayer. And then we talked about not only a zeal for prayer, we said that prayer was our weapon. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then we talked about the church, and we talked about the Lord's zeal for the church, and we talked about Psalm 84, and we read these verses, and I'll just read verse number 4. The Bible said, Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Salah. So we find that a Christian, when he has a zeal for the church and he stays in the church, we find that he is blessed. Now, people say, well, preacher, I can live as good at home. Well, you know, the truth of that is you cannot, because God ordained the local church, and everything ought to come through the Bible-believing church. Amen. So now we move today to our third point of a zeal that consumes, and we talk about our zeal for the Bible. Our zeal for the Bible. Now, you know, when I first got saved, I began to listen to preaching, and I guess the first Bible I ever carried to church was a little red New Testament. That's all I had. And then my mama, I guess it was in 1977, I guess at the Christmas time, and I'm going to say Christmas of 77, my mama bought me a little black Bible. And I found that Bible not long ago. And I carried that Bible until 1979. The problem was the print was so small in that Bible that I really couldn't read it. And I'd have Mama mark, you know, there where the preacher was preaching and all that. But in 1979, I had a new pastor came to town and came to our church, and he gave me the first Bible that I could ever read. And his stipulation was that I read a chapter a day. Now, that man's in heaven, and I owe him much. I owe him much for cultivating my mind around the Word of God. And the Bible is the book. Now, you know, books are important. Now, we live in an hour of books. And I don't want to say anything on the radio to make you think I'm knocking people's books. There are some great books that have been written. There are some good devotional books. There are some good ladies' books. There are great books that have been written. But let me say this to you. There is not a book written greater than the Bible. Now, one of the, I feel like the lies of the devil is that we've got to have somebody's devotional book in order to understand the Bible. And that just simply ain't true. If you will rely on the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, and I think that's where we're failing, if you will allow the Spirit of God, if you will, now let me just read to you from Psalm 1 and verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, that don't mean that he goes around with a Bible in his hand, but it does mean this. Back in the day of the psalmist writing this down, the law was on scrolls. So they didn't have a copy of the law in their pocket. But when they'd go to the synagogue or wherever they'd go to worship on Sunday, back in those days in the Old Testament, they'd go to the temple. And if you was privileged enough to go to the temple and worship God, and some people lived so far away they couldn't, so they just had what they had committed to memory. But the psalmist said that he meditated, he mused on it, he thought about it, he rolled it over in his mind. And I think one of the greatest things we're missing concerning the Bible today is meditation. In other words, you read a verse, and you stop, and you just think about that verse. Now, at first, especially if you're a new Christian, your thoughts will be, I don't know the right word to use, but babyish. Let's just say you'll think in baby terms. And you may write a note down, and 10 years from now you'll look back and you say, well, that wasn't exactly what that meant, or I had a little grasp of it, but not a whole lot. But here's the deal, that's okay. You got to start somewhere. And you don't have to start out knowing the whole Bible, okay? Don't try to compete with somebody else's knowledge, all right? When you hear great Bible men teach, I'll give the illustration. Dr. Stennett Blue was a great Bible teacher. Dr. Oliver B. Green is one of the greatest Bible teachers, preachers that ever lived. These two men are two of the greatest radio men that ever lived. Now, You're not going to know what they know, what they knew overnight. You'll never, and probably most of us will never know what they knew. But here's what you do. You just begin to listen and you begin to learn. And you meditate in that scripture, all right? You get your Bible out and you say, well, what does this mean? And meditate in it. Meditate in the Word of God. Have a zeal for the Bible. Now, if you'll teach your children to do that, instead of being on these phones all the time, and it's more than just, may I say something to you? Now, don't get me wrong. I love it when kids memorize scripture. I think that's great. I think you ought to put it in them from the start. I think if you don't put it in them, I think the devil will. Amen. He'll put his stuff in them. But let me say that it's a little bit more than that. It's not just the Word of God in your head. Now, a lot of kids have been sent to the Christian school, and they have learned scriptures up here in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. Now, when you get saved, and I think one thing that helped my ministry and one thing that really helped me along was when I got saved, I began to meditate in the Bible. And I longed for those days again. Boy, those were glorious days, meditating in the Word of God. Now notice what else he said. He said in verse number 3 of Psalm 1, the Bible said, and he shall be like a tree. Well, I like trees. Don't you go out in the woods, see a big strong tree. Amen. Planted by the rivers of water. Notice that. Now let me just stop right there. He said, if you meditate in the Bible, if you got a zeal for it. Now the psalmist again, Psalm 119, he said, my zeal hath consumed me. Now the Bible is like this. The Bible is like water. Over here to my left sits a bottle of water. Now, the more water I drink, the more water I want. But if I go a while without drinking water, I get where I don't want it. I start drinking something else, maybe a Coke or something. And I'm not supposed to really be drinking those. But the more water I drink, the more water I want. Now, the more Bible you meditate in, the more you'll want to meditate. It's sort of like, you fellas deer hunt. It kind of gets in your blood, or something. But when you start meditating that Bible, it'll get a hold of you. And so, we ought to have a zeal for meditating the Bible so we can be planted like a tree. You know why people today, and I don't want to be mean about it, but you know why people today are movable? A lot of times people quit church when storms come and troubles come. And you think about Job. Now think about Job for a minute. Now Job was a man that loved God. He was a man that was perfect. That don't mean he was sinless. It means he was mature. And Job had a lot of animals. He had asses and sheep and camels, and that was the equivalent of having trucks and tractors and a big thing in this day and time. I mean, Job was up there. I mean, he was rich. And all of a sudden, of course, you know the story. God has a hedge about him, and the devil comes to the Lord, and the Lord said, if you consider my servant Job, and so the God takes the hedge away, and the devil, in just a few minutes, destroys everything that Job had. Now, the last verses of chapter 1 of the book of Job are very important because Job, the Bible said that Job rent his clothes and he fell on his face and he worshiped. The Bible said, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return. And I'm not quoting exactly word for word, but he said, the Lord hath gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, how many of us can say that? Now, you got to remember back in that day when Job was born, they didn't have any of the Bible. Friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Monday, February the 2nd. You've been listening to a message entitled A Zeal That Consumes, and this is R488-2. If you like the message, you write for it, or we can email it to you. Our email address, comments@gbiradio.org. We'll give you the mailing address here at the end. By the way, we were talking about the Reaching America Project. If you want to write a check to that, just make it to GBI and then just put in the memo line, Reaching America. We'll give you the mailing address here at the end of the broadcast. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.